Coffee Shop Rescue by Loflight 501. Rico stumbles aimlessly down the street. He'd left the apartment after Victor had fallen asleep. He'd been drunk, but Rico knew that if he woke up and noticed Rico was gone, he'd track him down. He'd kill him this time. He was always telling Rico that he'd kill him. Next time, he'd say, next time I'll kill you. Rico had thought that time had finally come tonight. His face and body ached from where Victor's fists had landed, and his throat burned from where he'd choked him. Rico can only guess that Victor was so drunk that he'd actually thought that he'd killed Rico and had rolled over to fall asleep. Rico wasn't sure why he finally left, but he'd known in that moment that it was his last chance to leave, last chance to be free. He'd taken nothing other than the clothes he could grab on his way out the door. He was lucky that the jeans he'd grabbed from the floor had his wallet, but it barely had a few euros in it. Maybe he should have let Victor kill him. "Excuse me?" The small voice jolts Rico out of his thoughts. He turns and sees a man standing in front of one of the shops, a little bakery. He looks kind, with his hair tied back and a flower-covered apron. "Are you okay?" the man asks. Rico opens his mouth to answer, but no words come out. What was he supposed to say? The man gives Rico a kind smile and moves to hold open the door to the bakery. "How about you come inside?" Rico isn't sure why he follows the man, except there is an inexplicable and indescribable goodness about him. He radiates kindness. "Would you like some tea or coffee?" the man says, guiding Rico into the kitchen. "I don't have any money," Rico croaks out. The words feel like gravel, scratching along the inside of his throat. The man murmurs. "I think perhaps some tea would be best. Please have a seat." Rico perches on a little bar stool next to a counter while the man moves around the bakery, heating water and grabbing two mugs. Rico takes a moment to look around. From his vantage point, he can see both the public area and the kitchen. It's a nice space. The public eating area is warm and cozy, with mismatched tables and chairs, giving it a homey feel. The kitchen is ruthlessly organized and clean, but still has warm qualities with colorful tools and containers. The man returns with the mugs and a little plate of baked goods. He places them in front of Rico and then takes a seat at the bar stool next to him. "My name is Guido," he finally says, handing the mug to Rico. "This should help your throat." "Thank you," Rico rasps. "My name is Rico."
"Rico,"
Guido murmurs, his accent adding a musical quality to his name. "It is nice to meet you. It sounds like your throat might hurt too much to talk, and you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. But it seems like you need some help." Rico doesn't respond. He just ducks his head and takes a sip of the tea. Guido is right. It does feel good.
"Do you need me to contact someone? The police?" Guido asks.
When Rico frantically shakes his head, Guido continues.
"That's okay. Do you have family or friends that you want to reach out to?"
Rico thinks for a moment of all the friends and family members that turned their backs on him when he went to prison. He thinks about all the visiting days with no visitors, the empty waiting room when he was finally released. He sadly shakes his head.
"Okay," Guido responds. "Have a bite of the bombolone. It's better fresh, but it should be soft enough not to hurt your throat. Now,"
Guido looks thoughtfully while Rico takes a bite. "I live just upstairs, and I have a guest room if you need a place to stay." Rico's mouth is full of soft pastry and creamy custard, but he tries to shake his head frantically.
"Don't be silly," Guido says matter-of-factly. "You need a place to stay."
Before Rico can argue further, Guido asks, "Do you have a job?" Rico dips his head, ashamed, before taking another bite of the pastry. This man announces, "You know, I need to hire someone to work the counter here. My current barista just put in her 2 weeks' notice. I was going to put a sign out, but..."
"You don't know anything about me," Rico whispers, staring at the floor.
"I think that you are in need of kindness," Guido explains.
We all do sometimes. I happened to be outside at just the moment that you walked by, and I need a new barista. I think this is destiny.
Rika looks up into the cheerful face of this man and can't believe that there is this kind of a person in the world.
If my ex finds me, he may cause issues.
Guido nods, understandingly. I figured as much. If he tries to cause issues, I'll sick my brother on him.
When Rika raises an eyebrow, Guido explains.
He's a little rougher on the edges, but very protective. I had a bad relationship a couple of years ago, and he helped pull me out of it.
Rika wants to argue, but he's so tired.
Okay, he croaks.
Bello, Guido says excitedly. Let's go upstairs and get you cleaned up.
Rika quickly learns that working at a bakery coffee shop means very early hours.
Guido doesn't exactly say that he's uncomfortable leaving Rika alone in his apartment, but Rika also doesn't want to put him in that position. So at 4 o'clock, he sleepily follows Guido downstairs to the coffee shop.
Rika doesn't know anything about baking, but he volunteers to wash dishes and clean up behind Guido.
Guido cheerfully keeps up a mostly one-sided conversation, mixing anecdotes about the history of Italian cuisine and pastries with the story of how he moved to the Netherlands from Italy to start a bakery. Turns out that Guido was also in an abusive relationship. He never says as much, but it definitely sounded unhealthy, with a woman in Italy. He kept going back to her over and over until his brother gave him the money to move here and start his business.
Lottie, the soon-to-be-departing barista, arrives at 6:30 to open up the front. She gives his bruised face a curious look but doesn't say anything, just focuses on training Rico on how to open the coffee shop for customers. The first customers arrive around 7, and Lottie efficiently starts to fill their orders. Rico is baffled by the complicated espresso machine, but helps her fill the pastry orders and man the cash register.
The hours fly by, but the stream of customers seems to slow after 9 a.m., allowing Lottie to train him on how to brew the coffees.
Guido is the best boss in the world, Lottie explains, but he cares a lot about his coffee.
Of course I do, Guido exclaims, carrying in a fresh batch of pastries. I'm Italian. Espresso is holy for us.
Lottie chuckles. Oh, I'm going to miss you.
Why are you leaving?
Rico croaks, his voice still wrecked from the night before.
Guido immediately moves to the hot water dispenser to start making a mug of tea.
I'm starting university in Rotterdam, Lottie explains. I love working here, but that would make for a long commute.
Here, tesoro, Guido says, handing him a mug of tea.
Yes, Lottie, I would love to keep you forever, but you are going to make a wonderful teacher.
Rico smiles around the edge of his mug. Lottie is going to make a great teacher. She's already been so patient with him. It's lovely seeing them together, the warm camaraderie. Guido is obviously the boss, but he cares about Lottie. And now Rico.
We typically close at 1400, Lottie explains to Rico. It takes us about an hour to clean up and prep for the next day.
I normally will stay later, Guido continues. I have to prep doughs for the next day. I also take any unsold food to a local shelter. That's where I was coming back from last night when we met.
More customers start to stream in now, and Guido heads back to the kitchen.
By the time they begin to close, Rico is exhausted. The coffee shop does pretty steady business all day between breakfast, lunch, and what Lottie calls the live-ins, writers and people that work from home that come to the coffee shop for a couple of hours each day. There also seems to be a lot of regulars that Lottie knows by name. Guido has really created an environment that is warm and friendly, a coffee shop that feels like home. Guido comes out to chat with them before they close to evaluate which pastries sold better than others, and which he'll need to bring to the shelter.
Rico is just about to step out from behind the counter to lock the door when he sees the profile of a familiar face in the window. He manages to dive behind the counter, jostling his many bruises, a few seconds before he hears the chime of the door opening.
Lottie and Guido give each other curious looks, but do not say anything. Instead, he sees Guido step forward and greet the man.
I'm sorry, we're just about to close.
Oh, that's okay, Victor says. His oily voice makes Rico's chest constrict. He places a hand over his face to keep from sobbing out loud. I'm actually looking for someone.
My partner is ill, and I think he might be at risk for hurting himself. I'm trying to find him.
Oh, no! Guido sounds properly concerned. That's terrible! I'm sorry I haven't seen him. Have you tried going to the police?
No. Victor sounds heartbroken. My Rico was just released from prison. I don't want him to get in trouble.
Rico clenches his eyes shut. Surely this would be the end of his short friendship with Guido and Lottie.
I understand, Guido says sympathetically. If you want to leave me your number, I'd be happy to call in case I see him.
Thank you very much, Victor simpers. There's the scratching of a pen on paper before the bell on the front door chimes again.
Lottie, can you lock the door on the way out? I'll finish closing up, Guido murmurs.
Rico doesn't move from his position on the floor, but he finally opens his eyes after Guido crouches in front of him.
I take it that this...
Guido checks the paper in his hands. Victor is the man that hurt you?
Rico nods, tears running down his face.
Guido nods and sits down in front of him, holding up his hands.
Can I hold your hand?
Rico jerks his head in approval, and Guido reaches out to clasp his hands.
I'm not going to let him hurt you. I'm going to call my brother and he can help us.
Rico shakes his head. You've already helped me so much. I should go.
No, Guido says firmly.
You already told me that you have nowhere else to go.
I'm not going to let you go live on the street.
I'm going to help keep you safe. Now, he says, standing and pulling up Rico with him, why don't you help me clean up, and then we can bring the leftovers to the shelter.
Rico nods and stands up.
I wish there was a way I could repay you.
Guido just smiles and pats his arm. One day you'll repay this kindness to someone else.
Rico helps Guido with his closing activities, cleaning the floors and wiping down all the counters. He also helps Guido package the leftover pastries. He starts shaking when he realizes that he'll need to leave the bakery to help Guido bring the pastries to the shelter. What if they ran into Victor? What if Victor saw where Rico was staying?
Hey, my brother is going to stop by, but I want to bring these pastries down to the shelter. Can you stay and let him in? Guido asks.
You're just going to leave me here? Rico asks, surprised.
Guido looks worried.
You'll be okay. You can lock the door.
No, Rico interrupts. You trust me here, alone? What if I rob the place?
Are you going to rob the place? Guido asks curiously.
No, of course not, Rico exclaims.
Guido smiles. Truth be told, I trust you.
Guido clasps him on the shoulder and tells him that his brother will knock on the back door.
Rico shuffles around the kitchen uncomfortably. He tries to pass the time cleaning, but Guido already keeps it immaculately clean.
Rico is tempted to start scrubbing the baseboards when there is a knock at the door.
Rico's heart races and his mind immediately starts concocting worst case after worst case scenario, but he moves to answer the door. When he opens the door, he immediately recognizes that this must be Guido's brother. Those mesmerizing blue-green eyes are unmistakable.
You are Rico? The man asks, raising an eyebrow.
Yes, Rico answers. Rico's stomach gives a little twist of embarrassment. He knows he looks like a mess, his face a rainbow of bruises.
You are Guido's brother?
Si, the man answers curtly, pushing past Rico to enter the kitchen. Rico sees now that he's carrying a work bag and a shopping bag. He sets the bags on the counter and turns to face Rico. He's giving Rico an appraising look, and Rico suspects that the man is disappointed with what he sees. Rico is used to people being disappointed in him. Rico shifts uncomfortably.
Guido never told me your name.
The man leans against the counter, crossing his arms, and continues his curious study of Rico. For a moment, Rico thinks he isn't going to answer, but the man says one word.
Primo.
Hello, Primo, Rico murmurs shyly. Can I help you while you wait for Guido?
Primo sighs heavily before turning to his bag. Do you have any construction experience?
Some, Rico responds.
He doesn't explain that most of his construction experience was normally related to crime in some form.
Okay, Primo says, grabbing materials and heading toward the front. You can help me. We are installing two of these buttons in the front area. If anything happens, you or someone else can press the button. It sends an alert to the kitchen. Guido shouldn't have to do this just for me, Rico adds dejectedly. Primo shrugs. You aren't the first lost soul that Guido has adopted. Rico must make some sound of distress because Primo's harsh look softens slightly. If it makes you feel any better, I've asked Guido to put these in before and he refused. This makes Rico feel slightly better, enough so that he accepts the drill from Primo and starts to attach the buttons to the underside of the counter while Primo runs the cords. They work mostly in silence, with Primo giving Rico minimal instructions. It doesn't take long before both buttons are installed, one near the cashier station and another on the far side of the counter. Primo then has them move into the kitchen while they install a large light and security system. Once they're done, Primo moves to Guido's large walk-in refrigerator and digs around before emerging with two beers. Guido keeps some of these for me, he explains, holding one out to Rico. Unfortunately, he waits until Rico has taken a sip before he asks, Tell me about Victor. Rico chokes and sputters a little, and Primo continues, If what my brother tells me is true, the man is a threat. I need to know about him. Rico hesitates, ashamed, but Primo is right. We met in prison. I thought that he was my friend. I thought that he cared about me. Rico chokes up a little. He was possessive when we were in prison, but I didn't realize what he really was until we were out. I just wanted to live a normal life, but he wanted me to help him with new jobs. And he became jealous. He said he would kill me if I left him. Rico starts to cry a little. Then he started beating me. And he kept saying he would kill me. Last night he... Rico is fully sobbing now, trying to get in a deep breath. Primo looks uncomfortable and desperately looks around the kitchen. He stands and hesitantly reaches out, but before he makes contact, the back door opens, and Guido walks in. He sees Rico crying and immediately moves to him, blocking Primo. Tesoro, can I hold you? He asks, opening his arms. Rico pauses only briefly before nodding. Guido wraps his arms around, and Rico melts. He can't remember the last time that someone touched him with kindness. Shh, Guido croons. Everything is okay. You are safe. He pats Rico's head. What did you do? Guido snaps at Primo. It's not his fault, Rico sniffles. He pulls away from Guido and tries to explain. He asked about Victor. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to fall apart like that. Guido cups his face affectionately. You have nothing to apologize for. Crying is healthy and cathartic. He turns, wrapping an arm around Rico and facing his brother. Did you get everything set up? Of course, Primo says with a shrug before standing up. I need to go, but let me know if you need anything else. Oh? Guido says, surprised. You aren't staying for dinner? No, Guido, Primo says, not quite making eye contact as he stands to throw out the beer bottle. I have some business I need to take care of. Rico feels a little sad watching the mysterious brother leave, wondering if it is his fault that Primo is not going to eat with his brother tonight. As similar as the brothers look, they seem polar opposites. Guido a mix of warmth and kindness, Primo a cool, mysterious enigma. It's amazing how quickly things devolve into an easy routine. Lottie quickly teaches Rico everything he needs to know about running the coffee shop before she leaves, and soon Rico is manning the counter by himself. His bruises, both inside and out, slowly begin to heal with time and Guido's constant friendship. Rico learns the names and orders of the regulars, and learns which one want conversation, and which prefer silence before caffeine. Guido even begins to teach Rico how to bake, although Rico thinks that he's better at washing dishes and making coffee. Rico even starts helping Guido with other tasks like supply runs and taking leftovers to the shelter. It turns out that Rico has a talent for drawing, so Guido puts him in charge of the shop's large chalkboard, and he spends the afternoons when Guido preps decorating the edges with flowers, fruits, and pastries. The heavenly normalcy lulls Rico into thinking that he is free. So when Victor waltzes into the shop right before closing one night, Rico freezes. "Hello, Rico," Victor purrs. Rico's knees tremble, and he wants to run from the room, but he feels bolted to the ground. "Did you really think that you could get away from me?" Victor continues, strolling up to the counter. Rather than stopping at the cashier stand, he moves around to the side to cross behind where Rico is standing. The audacity is enough to shake Rico out of his shock enough to press the little button on the underside of the counter. Victor smiles predatorily as soon as he crosses the barrier and prowls to Rico, trapping him against the counter. "Excuse me," Guido yells, running in from the kitchen. "You need to leave immediately." Victor grins and turns to face Guido. "I see you lost my number. Or did he convince you not to call me? He can be such a sweet slut." Victor turns to face Rico. "Did you suck his cock? Did you let him fuck you for a place to stay?"
"Stop it," Rico whispers, feeling the blood rushing to his face. "Get out," Guido yells, coming from behind Victor.
Victor gives Rico a cruel smile before spinning, backhanding Guido hard enough to send him crashing to the ground. "No!" Rico screams. He steps forward, but Victor grabs him by the shirt and shoves him into the counter. "You fucking slut," Victor growls. "You belong to me." Victor presses his lips to Rico's in a cruel mockery of a kiss. When Rico struggles, Victor backhands him, splitting the same lip open and filling Rico's mouth with blood. Victor grunts loudly when Guido kicks him in the knee, but that just makes Victor kick him in the side. Guido yelps and curls in on himself. Rico moves to try to stop him, but Victor hits him and then moves his hands to Rico's throat. He squeezes tightly and the blood in Rico's ears begins to roar. He tries to struggle, but Victor is too strong. His vision starts to go black along the edges when the door slams open. "Get the fuck off him!" Victor's hands loosen slightly, allowing Rico to suck in a deep, saving breath. Then Victor disappears, dragged over the edge of the counter by strong hands. Rico gasps desperately, clutching at his neck. "Guido!" his oxygen-deprived brain screams. Rico ignores the grunts and sounds of fists on flesh and crawls over to a moaning Guido. "Are you okay?" Rico rasps, his voice returning to a croak. Guido groans as he clutches his side, but he nods. His nose is already bleeding, but his eyes are clear. Rico pulls one of Guido's arms over his shoulder and helps him stand. Together they half crawl, half walk around the counter. Primo is on top of Victor, repeatedly pounding his fist into the man's face. They are both covered in blood, and Primo has a terrifying, feral look in his eyes. It is Guido that reacts first. "Primo, stop!" The shock of seeing his brother in such a state is enough to make Guido forget his injuries and run forward. "Primo, you saved us," he murmurs, placing a hand on his brother's shoulder. Primo's fist stops in midair, as if coming out of a trance. He slowly stands and turns to look at his brother and Rico. Their medley of injuries must not do much to make him feel better, but the contact of his brother's hand seems to calm him. "How hurt are you?" Primo asks, his voice still tight and vibrating with anger. "Nothing serious," Guido says with a reassuring smile. "Rico?" "I've had worse," he croaks. "This probably isn't the right thing." Because a new flash of rage comes into his eyes before he glances down at the unconscious Victor. Guido must recognize it because he moves toward Primo, whispering quietly in his ear. "Should we call the police?" Rico croaks. Primo and Guido share a silent look before Primo answers. "I think not. When he wakes, we will have a chat. I don't think he'll be bothering us again." Guido nods. "Okay. I think that I'm going to get us some ice. I have a med kit in the other room. I'll be right back." Guido leaves Primo and Rico to stand in silence. "I'm so sorry," Rico whispers. Primo jerks and turns to stare at Rico. "Do not apologize." "I got Guido hurt," Rico whispers, tears welling in his eyes. "This is all my fault. He's only ever helped me. And now you," Do not apologize, Primo repeats. Guido saves me all the time. That's what he does.
Rico smiles. He said that you saved him.
Primo's eyes dart up to his before quickly looking away and shrugging. Guido re-enters before Primo can say anything else.
Primo, Guido asks, handing him an ice pack. How did you know to come here?
Primo looks a little guilty before responding. I set it up so the alarm would trigger my phone. He glances toward Rico. I just lived down the street.
Oh, Rico says, his throat burning. You never come in.
Primo shrugs again, turning away from Guido's questioning look to stare at Victor. Guido rolls his eyes, but turns to Rico with a cotton ball. He places it against the cut on Rico's lip with one hand and gives him an ice pack with the other.
Place this on your throat.
Rico opens his mouth to apologize, but Guido stops him.
You should try not to talk too much.
The kind look in Guido's eyes brings more tears to Rico's. He wants to say something, but freezes when Victor stirs on the floor.
Guido, why don't you and Rico go up to your apartment, Primo says calmly. I'll lock up and then come down with you tomorrow to help clean up.
When Guido and Rico don't move immediately, Primo continues.
Go upstairs. I'll be up shortly.
Guido hesitates briefly before gently leading Rico through the kitchen and up the back stairs into his apartment. After staring at his oven for a few long moments, Guido announces that they will be ordering Indian food for dinner. None of us need to deal with cooking tonight. Primo arrives before the delivery person. He does not look any bloodier than before, but in this light, the developing bruise on his eye is even more prominent, and Rico can see the flecks of blood on his hands. He's sure that it is only the color of Primo's shirt, dark red, that keeps him from looking like a serial killer.
It's done, Primo announces, sprawling in a chair around the table. He won't be bothering either of you anymore.
What does that mean? Rico rasps. Victor has decided to leave Utrecht for the foreseeable future, Primo announces. Turning to Guido, he adds, I'm staying here tonight. I'll take the couch.
Oh, no, Rico insists. Please, you can take my room.
Primo just gives Rico a look that tells him not to argue, before looking at Guido.
I'm starving.
I already ordered, Guido says, Indian food.
Did you order, Primo starts, paneer tikka masala?
Guido interrupts with a smile.
Yes, and garlic naan.
Rico smiles at the easy exchange between the brothers.
What are you smiling at? Guido asks.
It's just nice seeing you together, Rico explains, a tad embarrassed.
Guido laughs. We fight a lot, but we love each other.
Primo shrugs nonchalantly and then stands when the apartment buzzer goes off.
Primo isn't a fan of emotional displays, Guido whispers conspiratorially as Primo leaves to get the food.
Thank you for everything, Rico says, now that they are alone. I'm never going to be able to pay you back for everything you've done for me.
Guido reaches out to clasp Rico's hand. You are family, and family watches out for each other. He tilts his head and smiles. We don't keep score. Rico tosses and turns in bed. Dinner had been a subdued affair with Guido attempting to carry a majority of the conversation, but the events of the day had quickly caught up with them. Rico had tried to offer the bed to Primo again, but Primo had insisted on taking the couch. But now, alone with just his thoughts and guilt, Rico could not sleep. All the tossing and turning is not helping, so Rico tiptoes into the hall bathroom. He looks through the medicine cabinet, but all he finds are some melatonin gummy bears. They must be better than nothing, Rico thinks, taking two and leaving. He gasps and clutches his chest when he runs into Primo as he's leaving the bathroom.
Are you okay? Primo asks, concerned.
Sorry, Rico whispers, not wanting to wake Guido. You scared me a little.
Primo nods, but doesn't apologize.
Can't sleep?
Rico sighs.
No, just too many thoughts.
Do you want to talk about it? Primo asks.
He seems uncomfortable, and Rico wonders if Primo is hoping he'll say no.
instead of telling Primo about the guilt he feels about getting Guido hurt, or the quiet hope he felt when Guido said he was family, Rico's brain gets stuck on something else from that night. "Why haven't you been coming into the coffee shop?" Rico asks. Primo looks as guilty and uncomfortable as he can, but doesn't answer. "Is it me?" Rico asks in a sad whisper. Primo sighs and sits on the couch. "Yes, but not the reason you think." He pats the couch next to him. Rico slowly sits on the other side of the couch and faces Primo. "Guido told me to stay away from you." Rico's head snaps back. "What? We're just friends." "He wasn't jealous," Primo rushes to explain. "He knew you were in a vulnerable position, and he noticed that I was attracted to you." Rico's eyes grow wide at the casual admission, but Primo continues. "He told me that I wasn't allowed to hit on you for 3 months." Rico chokes out an awkward laugh as he calculates the time in his head. "That was almost a month ago." "Yes," Primo confirms with a smile. "You don't have to avoid me," Rico says quietly. He can feel his face heat as he stares at his fingers. "It would be nice to get to know you." He glances up and looks at Primo. "Any chance we could get Guido to let you off sooner?" Primo laughs a little. "Not for me, but you could try turning those eyes on him." "My eyes?" Primo looks at him and his eyes turn affectionate. "They're like something out of a cartoon, the way they get all emotional and shiny. I think you could talk almost anyone into almost anything." Rico laughs a little and looks at his hands again. "I'll see what I can do." "In the meantime," Primo says, standing. He reaches for Rico's hand, and Rico could swear that he feels a frisson of electricity up his spine from the touch. "You should go to bed." "Thank you, Primo," Rico whispers, moving to walk back to his room. "Rico?" Primo calls right before Rico disappears around the corner. "Sweet dreams." Rico gives Primo one last smile before walking back to his room. His dreams are sweet that night, full of hope for his future. The end.